This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 11th, Veterans Day. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll revisit our World War II series from last year and get another look at one of the key battles of World War II, the Battle of the Bulge, in the eyes of several local veterans. We'll also get a forecast from Ed Kieser for today's news. University of Illinois President Joseph White could receive a longer contract this week. Trustees are being asked to approve the extension to the middle of 2011 with no other changes in White's contract. He's currently being paid $450,000 a year. The current contract runs through early 2010. White has been U of I president since 2005. The board meets Thursday in Springfield. The sagging U.S. economy continues to take its toll on Illinois' budget. The state projects an $800 million shortfall this year due to lower-than-expected tax revenue. Mike Rhee has more.
The deficit projection is based on data from the first 4 months of the state's fiscal year. Mike Clemens is a spokesperson for the Illinois Department of Revenue. He says the projected $800 million shortfall assumes the economy will stay at the current level.
If the economy gets worse, it's going to be a bigger number. It's going to easily go over $1 billion.
The state already has put some cost-controlling measures in place. That's according to Katie Ridgway, a spokesperson for Governor Rod Blagojevich. Ridgway says further cuts may be considered down the line. She says Illinois is being hit by the same economic difficulties affecting other states this year. I'm Mike Rhee.
The vote was unanimous yesterday as the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Board named Julie Pride as the permanent administrator for the department. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
In appointing Pride, the three-member public health board decided not to conduct a national search for a permanent administrator. Instead, they're staying with the acting administrator who took over last year when her predecessor, Vito Palazzolo, was suspended and ultimately fired for reported financial misconduct. Board Chair Carol Elliott says Pride has done an excellent job over the past 18 months.
While Julie Pride has been the acting administrator, we've seen things stabilized, and that's a testament to what she can do. I think we've also seen the other division directors really take more of an active role, and I think that has to do with her.
The Public Health Board's vote came after they received a host of written and spoken testimonials praising Pride's performance from public health employees and others. The only word of caution came from Champaign County Board of Health President Julian Rappaport. While praising Pride, Rappaport said it would inspire more faith in the board's decision if they conducted a national search before making their decision. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The CU Public Health Board also approved a 5-year contract with the Champaign County Board of Health to provide health services to rural parts of the county. The County Board of Health approved the contract last month. Negotiations for that contract went smoothly, unlike those for the previous agreement. Champaign County had no public health services for several days in 2003 after contract talks broke down. New language for a neighborhood plan calls for the City of Urbana and Carle Foundation Hospital to negotiate a solution that provides new housing to replace any homes that are torn down for future hospital expansion. Last night, the Urbana City Council worked out the language for the Crystal Lake Neighborhood Plan. It'll give a final vote next week. It replaces previous language that Carle Hospital officials opposed because they believed it made them solely responsible for finding replacement housing. Mayor Laurel Pressing says that's not the city's intention. She reads the replacement language endorsed by the council.
If residences are removed due to Carle expansion, the city and Carle Foundation shall negotiate in consultation with the people of the neighborhood to provide energy-efficient replacement housing.
The replacement language also cites Carle's previous statements that it wants to, quote, be part of the solution if future hospital expansion leads to homes being torn down. Carle owns several rental properties just off the hospital campus that could be torn down if the campus is expanded. No Carle officials attended the committee meeting except for Alderwoman Lynn Barnes, a Carle vice president who's recused herself from the neighborhood plan discussion. One of the many unanswered questions from last Friday's devastating fire in downtown Champaign is the future of the corner where the fire took place. Mary Dennis is the executive director of the Champaign Downtown Association, which she says is helping the Metropolitan Building's owners make the next move. But she says it's still too early to decide whether the owners will choose to recreate the 130-year-old building or to go in a different direction.
Well, it kind of looks like somebody just dropped a bomb on that corner, but like I said, cleanup is going really well, and I know something good is going to come out of this. We'll just have to wait and see.
Damage to the Metropolitan Building and adjoining structures is now estimated at more than $3.5 million. Investigators are going over videos and pictures to figure out how the fire started. It tore through the three-story retail building in a matter of minutes. The owners had been renovating the Metropolitan's first-floor retail space with condominiums in the upper floors. The fate of two adjacent buildings remains up in the air, pending inspections to make sure they're structurally sound. It's taken less than a year for a veterans memorial in Savoy to go from dream to reality. The project was conceived last winter, ground was broken last July. Now, local officials will mark Veterans Day today by formally unveiling the Savoy Veterans Memorial during an 11 o'clock ceremony. The memorial is just outside the Savoy Municipal Center on Route 45, but except for the land, all the materials and labor for the memorial has been privately donated. Village Trustee Bill Smith says support for the project has come not just from Savoy, but from Champaign, Urbana, and other towns across central Illinois.
Because some of the people that have worked on this, one of them was all the way down to a town called Florina, south of Effingham. And a gentleman, Chris Butler, who's done a tremendous amount of work, lives down in Philo. He's with the plaster and cement finishers. So we're really pleased that such a variety of people were willing to step up to the plate and help out on this project.
The Savoy Memorial features commemorative stones for each branch of the armed forces arranged around a five-pointed star. At the center of the star is a taller black granite stone with the American flag depicted on one side and a bald eagle and various armed forces seals on the other. There's a walkway featuring memorial bricks purchased by or in memory of local vets. Smith says anyone wishing to make a donation for future maintenance of that veterans memorial should call the Savoy Municipal Center. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. 64 years ago, Germany was about to mount its last major offensive in World War II. Months later, the Nazis would fall, and the guns of war would finally go silent in Europe. In the following decades, we heard about bits and pieces of the conflagration, hundreds of thousands of individual stories from those on the front lines. Now, one by one, those voices are also falling silent. Last year, we brought you World War II Central Illinois stories. We go back to those stories to hear about five area residents, four veterans and a civilian, telling their stories of the war's bloodiest battle, the Battle of the Bulge. Newsreels tell us what we know now is the big picture story. German troops pushed into France and Belgium by surprise in the bitter cold winter of December 1944. But U.S. and British troops pushed back.
Nazi columns, like probing fingers, thrust at the Allied lines, feeling for a break in our defense. 15 German divisions, upward of 200,000 men and 600 tanks, were thrown into the desperate gamble to delay the Allied advance.
It would be a hiccup in the push toward Berlin and the end of the war in Europe. But for soldiers under the pressure of battle, soldiers like Harold Sparky Songer of Danville, their attention wasn't on the big picture.
I learned more about the war by watching the Battle of the Bulge, Ken Burns' version of it. And I found out who was the left of me and who was the right of me. I never knew that. Why should I? My job was to go straight ahead. Shoot straight ahead. Yeah, that's where the enemy was.
It shouldn't be a surprise that many surviving Central Illinois vets have the Battle of the Bulge on their service records. After all, it was the tail end of the war, the Allied force was at its largest, and some of its youngest veterans were entering action. By the time the offensive was reversed, more than 76,000 Americans had been killed, wounded, or captured. Sparky Songer and his unit were sent straight into the Ardennes Forest in the days before the Germans would eventually begin their push through the snow. Songer's superiors weren't concerned.
They kept saying that they were going to expect trouble because we could hear them moving up big vehicles and they're screaming memes and saw a lot of people walking around over across from us. And hold your ground, they're not going to do anything, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to come through here. And the little PFC, we took their word for it and never questioned anything.
The element of surprise worked for the Germans. 3 days after the offensive began, low on food and ammunition, Songer and his unit were surrounded and captured.
And make no mistake, the German breakthrough marked one of the bitterest battles the world has ever seen. Many prisoners were taken by both sides.
It was a horrible scene. You lost faith in a lot of things. You lost faith in mankind. You lost faith in your superiors. And then the Germans came in, SS came in and marched us out.
Sanger would spend the rest of the war in deplorable conditions in a German Stalag. In combat, he had taken a bullet to the chest, only to be saved by a spoon that he had earlier slipped into his shirt pocket. At the strategically important town of Sanvith, Belgium, Malcolm Davis of Urbana had a similar experience with a metal Bible case in his pocket. Like with many soldiers, the snow and cold stick in Davis's memory.
And there was a foot of snow. I took my basic training down at Camp Blanding, Florida, and all that sand, that helped me to get through the snow because I was plowing through the sand and I had to plow through the snow.
Frank Mula of Monticello counts no fewer than four times that he escaped death, including the same story of a bullet stopped by an unlikely piece of armor. In his case, it was his rosary. A closer call came with a chance decision to cross a road. In the opposing ditch, Mula says he caught a glimpse of a German platoon waiting in ambush.
They're down, you know, we couldn't see them. They didn't see me because others were quite a way behind the point. When I went across the road, I got behind a tree, and I just opened up with the rifle and told the boys to get down, and they opened up. That was the end of that. That was one I felt good about. I felt good. I felt that, hell, I did something good. I saved some men.
Days later, during Christmas week, Mula was shot in the leg and later was evacuated, still wearing the coat that he had taken off a German corpse so he could warm himself up.
And they laid me in the hallway. I lay there a while, and nobody paid attention to me anymore. They just kept. And I finally got a little bit mad, and I grabbed the nurse. I said, "What the hell does a guy have to do around here to get some attention?" I thought she was going to faint. She was so shocked. She said, "We thought you were a German."
General Eisenhower visits the Third Army, which is doggedly battling its way toward heavily fortified Metz, another key to the Siegfried Line.
Well to the south, once moving through Metz, Harold Cox of Hoopston and his unit underwent heavy fire at Saarbrücken, just at the German border. But on a day that Cox considered quiet, a sudden mortar ended the war for him.
There was no firing or no nothing. That mortar come in and hit between me and the building. And it blew me up in the air. And I come down. And they taught us down in Camp Fannin, Texas, how to do certain things. And so I jerked my belt off, put it around my leg, give it a jerk, and that's the last thing I remember. I woke up in Paris, France.
Cox would lose that leg. Jill Knappenberger was a rare American civilian on the front line, but a willing one. She drove a Clubmobile. It was a Red Cross truck fitted to make donuts and brew coffee to cheer up the troops. Knappenberger now lives in Champaign. She joined the Red Cross to travel and be part of the action. But she didn't expect what she experienced when she was sent across the English Channel into France and Belgium, not far away from where her twin brother was fighting at the time. The Red Cross mistakenly sent her to Sanvith on December 16th.
And they're surprised, "What are you girls doing here?" "Well, this is where we're assigned to be," and we found out right away we were in trouble. That's right exactly where the breakthrough started. And they were coming around and cut communications and roads. We couldn't get out.
Knappenberger and her unarmed civilian Clubmobile crew were stuck at the front line for 6 or 7 days.
I also learned that night that my beloved twin brother had been killed that day. Fortunately, he probably didn't know that 88 went right through his helmet. He was killed instantly.
Knappenberger eventually drove her Clubmobile out a road that had suddenly opened as American troops fended off the German attacks. It was about the same time that Malcolm Davis dug his first foxhole in the same area. Both followed the march into Germany in 1945 once the bulge was settled. Frank Mula and Harold Cox recuperated back in the States, and Sparky Sanger and his fellow prisoners were able to walk away from their camp with the help of men who once guarded them.
It's a miracle we won that war. It's a miracle. And we did it by sheer manpower and guts. Did as we were told to do.
And when each soldier and civilian did their individual jobs, including the men and women who now live in central Illinois, it fit into the victory we now know as the Battle of the Bulge. Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast for today and for the rest of the week is rather gloomy, rather November-like actually. Cloudy with rain today for the Veterans Day holiday, the high 42 degrees with east to southeast winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight will be cloudy with more periods of rain, the low 38 in Champaign-Urbana, southeast winds at 8 to 16, periods of rain tomorrow and a cloudy high of 48 degrees. The forecast for the two states in northern Illinois, cloudy with a chance of mixed wet snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain arriving in the morning, changing to all rain by afternoon. Elsewhere in Illinois, just periods of rain and maybe an isolated thunderstorm even. In northeast Indiana, increasing clouds and highs from 37 northwest to 48 far south. Rain and isolated thunderstorms across the two states overnight, the lows from 34 in northeast Indiana and northwest Illinois to 44 south. And tomorrow, cloudy with areas of rain, the highs between 40 and 54. Tomorrow night in Champaign-Urbana, a few showers and a low of 40, a chance of a passing shower or two, and mostly cloudy Thursday with a high of 57. Into Friday, periods of rain turning windy and colder Friday afternoon with a midday high of 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Veterans Day, Tuesday, November 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.